All right, episode 6 of the Diaz and Quimby DQ Sports Blizzard. This is Half a Voice Quimby coming to you from our Northern Liberty studios. And I got to be honest with you, I'm probably going to sound a lot like Peter Brady tonight. A lot of voice changing through puberty. And sorry about the delay here. Diaz actually thinks it only takes a half hour to get to from Montgomeryville to Philadelphia during rush hour traffic on 611.
You're just trying to distract from the fact I'm going to have to carry the show again. Listen, listeners, it's okay. Wow. Quimby lost his voice. I'm here for you. I've got my voice. I do not lose my voice.
You just have a train to never stop talking. I don't know how.
That's how we go over here. But it's good to have both you guys back. It's not just the two of us tonight.
I know. No, well, hold on. We had four at the game last Sunday against the Colts. And Rex was here the week before that. We found the missing episode, by the way. So they'll all be up past episodes on the website. Let me get started here real quick. Don't forget our sponsors of the DQ Sports Blizzard. That'd be Miller Lite and Yards here in Northern Liberties, right at 5th and Spring Garden. Looking at them right now from our beautiful studios high atop the Northern Liberty skyline.
Their pale ale is great.
It is. It's fantastic.
Their IPA is good, too.
Their IPA is good. I'm much more of a fan of the Brawler, though.
They have that in cans as well.
They do now. Yes, they do. Don't forget about Bucks County Baseball Company, our good friend J.P. Lutz over there. You can check them out online, BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. Don't forget about our boy Mike McVay over at 422 Jeep Limerick. Walk in talking sports, walk out, didn't even realize you spent $40,000. And don't forget about our bar sponsors, all the Cavs restaurants throughout the city, Riverdeck, Head House, Rittenhouse, and our good friends up at 39th and Sansom, where Diaz and I had our formidable years. And, of course, our good friends at Delilah's and all the beautiful ladies over there. Everybody, we're going to start call-ins in about 5 to 10 minutes, so if you want to check us there, call us in at 484-429-9983. That's 484-429-9983. I should probably put Skype on right now since I did not do that yet. And I guess let's just get right into it. We're going to talk some Sixers. We're going to talk a little baseball, but it's going to be very short. This show is going to be all about football. We do want to. I know Diaz actually would like to talk a little bit about the Sixers. So why don't you start off with that? You were talking to me about Fultz earlier and how you thought. Talk about how his performance and what we all hope to see.
Yeah. Well, first off, I got to say, we'll get into this past week, Eagles, the Nashville. I was just telling Rex over here, I had FOMO all weekend. I stayed in home base this trip, the end of the quarter. I wish I was with you guys, but I did stay in town. I went to the Sixers game against Melbourne, or Melbourne, as the Aussies say it, on Friday night, and they played on Monday when you guys were making your way back. So I got to watch that. Quick little Sixers update, the Melbourne game, they look kind of sloppy. It was the first preseason game. There was really no competition. It looks like they were kind of like playing around with them. Monday looked better. Orlando's not a great team. Simmons is going to be dominant again. Embiid is going to be dominant. No one can stop him down low. He's going to look great. But the real story was Fultz.
Interrupt you real quick. I can't wait to see what he looks like with a full offseason of training, and you know, I believe he certainly started his season off, you know, with a little bit of rubber. The legs were a little jelly,
right?
But I don't think you're going to have that this year. He should be strong. He should be good to go, injury free in the preseason.
Yeah, he looks great. I was commenting on Friday at the game. His just shoulders are just bigger. He's just bigger.
Well, he's going to eventually grow up.
Yeah,
if you remember what Shaq looked like coming out of LSU,
right?
I mean, he was big, but Shaq got bigger.
Yeah.
Now, if Embiid gets bigger and his knees hold up, you know, natural. I don't want to talk about, you know, the HGH growth or anything along those lines, but you know, if he continues to get bigger like he should as he gets a little older, because how old is he now?
He's 24.
So we never can lose sight of the fact that these guys are in their early 20s.
Yeah.
They went from like these college programs that have great weight training programs and agility programs, and then they get into the pros and they just, you know, they know how to like put muscle on them, put it in the right place.
That's my whole theory on Embiid and these foot problems and everything like that. When he was drafted, he was 7 feet tall. Now he's 7'2". He kept growing. He kept growing at that time. He's only been playing basketball since 2011. So, you know, he's 24. He started playing when he was like 16, 17. I mean, that's insane. Yeah. To be the top three pick, injury there, but just insane that he is as talented as he has. And he really hasn't had an off season. You know, after his Kansas year coming in, he was hurt. Then after his first year, he was hurt again. After his second year, he was just recovering back. And then, you know, the two seasons ago, he got, you know, when he played the 31 games, he was hurt. Coming into last year, he was recovering. So, like Quimby had said, this is his first real offseason. And, you know, he comes in, starts the game. He's got 8 points, 4 rebounds in 6 minutes or something.
Right.
But really, you know, the story is Fultz. How does Fultz look? Fultz look good. He's assertive and aggressive. He's way better on defense than I would have imagined. And then he took some shots. His mid-range game was good.
That's good because he was taking shots all offseason.
Right, and you could say I was listening to a different show in the last few days talking about this. Now, his shot, he has a high release. It's not all stuttered and fragmented as it looked last year. His foul shot doesn't – he was making them. It didn't look really good. But it doesn't really matter if it looks really good as long as it goes in. Now, you want it to be higher just so he doesn't get blocked.
I want a pretty foul shot.
No, so do I.
I'm kidding. I don't give a fuck unless it goes in. It's been the story of my sex life in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's true.
I really don't care what it looks like as long as it goes in.
That's all that you can really hope for these days.
At my age, yeah, you know.
But he looked good, and they're out in China now for the next couple weeks. The season starts in 2 weeks. So
one thing I wanted to ask you about was it looked like I didn't watch the game, but I know there was like a play where I think it was Fultz bounced the ball off the backboard.
Oh, Simmons did, yeah.
Simmons. And one thing for me, one thing like I really don't like is, like you said, there wasn't much competition there, and they were maybe just messing around. And that's one thing I always worry about. It happens with a lot of teams here in Philadelphia. I don't know where this is going.
China, little Carl Douglas.
I think he's talking. They're playing Dallas in China. They're not playing Chinese teams. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Yeah, this is the. This is as PC as we get here on the DQ Blizzard. I hear what you're saying.
I'm worried that they might play down to their competition, and that lack of discipline might affect them when they get deep into the season. Or a team that they might overlook.
Yeah, that's certainly possible.
Eagles may have done with the Titans.
It's certainly possible. I mean, Orlando, they were much tighter, and they were much stronger against Orlando
on
Monday.
Nice tease, Rex.
Yeah. So I'll give you a
Rob
weekly.
Rob would have said, "Hey, in the radio business, because I'm the only journalist here."
Although I was credentialed, I was credentialed to cover the Eagles at the White House, so I am a journalist.
Does Rob know about this?
Yeah, he does. He's jealous.
Hey, Jelly.
No. Jelly Rob. But I hear what you're saying.
See how he sees me sitting here, and he automatically wants to have a little argument.
Yeah.
We're not going to make fun of him. We'll make fun of him on his own show.
We love you, Rob.
Yeah, we appreciate everything that he's done for us, getting us started in this particular project, so...
Yeah, he's good. So what,
yeah, he's good. Move on.
So yeah, so they're out in China now. We'll see if we get him. Well, I'm just trying to wrap up your Sixers round, the Sixers talk.
Okay.
But I'm fired up. We got Boston in 2 weeks, and then the home opener is Thursday, the 19th.
Maybe a little payback is what you're alluding to.
So I'm at Opryland at the Falls Lounge, checking people in, and I get a text message from Palmer. My best friend, Tony Palmer, and he goes, "Yo." And every time I get a yo, it means he's got a fucking really off-the-wall.
He's
got a real off-the-wall question he's going to ask or, you know, something. And I'm like, "All right, I'm going to call you real quick." And I called him, and he goes, "Hey, what's up?" And I'm like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "You know, And I'm like, ah, shit. All right, you can't ask me the question out loud, can you? He goes, nope. I'm like, text message, I'll go back. He goes, yep, all right. He goes, sitting at the bar at Del Frisco's, literally in the bar stool next to Gabe Kapler, what would Quimby do?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to answer that question.
And I said, let him fucking have it. But he goes, nah, I got a better idea. I'm thinking Gold Club. I told him, oh, that's awesome. You don't have a hair on your ass if you don't do it, or at least try. I still haven't heard from him, so I'm assuming it didn't take place. But that or Gabe Kapler and Tony Palmer in Latin America somewhere enjoying everything else. I don't know. Are we moving on to Philly?
Yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a good segue, right?
When is he signed through? Just like so we know.
Kapler?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's usually a three-year deal generally. Right. I could be wrong.
Just in time for us to get rid of him and actually have somebody that knows how to manage. So tell me about this this McPhail press conference. I want to hear a little bit more about that because I didn't see it. Diaz has a pretty good idea of everything that took place.
Yeah,
here.
So they did their media exit interviews, you know, so to speak, or whatever you want to say. And Andy McPhail was on and, you know, sort of agreed with and disputed some of the popular talking points in town about the Phillies. You know, some of like the not spending money. Well, they spent $170 million over the last two seasons
on Arrieta.
But their free agent class is
precisely nothing.
Something like they had the second most spending, but they had like the fourth worst, you know, output. So they're not good statistics. Saying you don't spend money if that's not, you know, the case. But if you're not getting the output that
especially
you're looking
when they're
for.
Going for
the
statistics,
ROI,
right?
Baby,
they're going for return on investment.
They're going for statistics, and that's not what they're getting. They're not going to return on their investment.
That's right. And then the other thing, you know, talking about the statistics, it was a valid point in that you went from zero to about league average in statistics. Whether you know, so as fans,
as we all said last year, it can only get better.
That's right.
Yeah, they only. Potential for growth. Talk about massive potential for growth. I am the acorn that becomes the oak. What movie?
Oh, I don't know.
You can't go. All the plants are going to die.
Lion King?
No.
Lion King was after 1988. You know all the quotes come before 1988.
Jesus Christ.
I think today they hired more analytics guys, too. I don't know. But it's more like the argument that I think we even talked about this at the tailgate a couple weeks ago is whether we agree with it or don't agree with it or think they use too much or too little or whatever statistic you like to go off of, this is what baseball is now. Do you know the Oakland A's are start?
Yeah, they're in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs.
Here we go.
I quit my job.
I just can't take this anymore.
I know. I got to straighten out. This is ridiculous.
Right. So you said last week.
Well, you know, how much can you straighten out in 1 week?
It hasn't been a week, John. It's been 6 months. Nothing's changed. And you sleep until noon, then you watch Rocky and Bullwinkle, and then you drive your cab, what, a couple hours? You come home and you order out food, and then you play those stupid Tito Puente albums until 2 in the morning.
Tito Puente is going to be dead, and you're going to say, oh, I've been listening to him for years, and I think he's fabulous.
Right, right, and then you watch movies until dawn, and then you come to bed with me.
You don't think that takes energy? You're a sexual dynamo. Most guys couldn't even handle you. I've been reading books on the outside just so I can keep up with you.
It's not funny. Going well, nowhere, like, John.
Still one of the best scenes of any movie
it's
all time.
It's just not that cute anymore.
It's a little cute.
It's a little cute. Come on. I'm part of a lost and
this
restless
is when
generation.
The girl walks out. Right?
Yeah, wait,
I'm familiar with
that. Wasn't going to sound good. Anita.
No.
Anita.
John, no, it's not going to work. Look, I like you, but I need something more. I need somebody who's going to develop with me and somebody who's going to grow with me. Goodbye.
Grow. Who could grow more than me? Talk about massive potential for growth. I am the little acorn that becomes the oak. You can't go. All the plants are going to die.
So where do you see him heading, Diaz? What do you think they do in the offseason? Did Kapler do enough to generate interest from the marquee free agents we had hoped to sign in this offseason? Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. And you know what? I got to be
honest. Machado's too expensive. I don't.
They have plenty of fucking money. I don't ever, ever at this point moving forward with the Phillies organization after the $3 billion deal they signed with Comcast that he's too expensive. Machado is worth every fucking dime. Those people out there that say Bryce Harper is a cancer, you are fucking dumb.
See, I think Bryce Harper would be better in a market where there's like a there's a little more heart to the team. Granted, the Phillies don't have that right now, but the Nationals always
going to be in a market for a team that actually wants to win, and that was not the Nationals.
It was, and it still hasn't been with all the talent they have down there.
Now it's questionable with the Phillies. There was a period of time where, yeah, they wanted to win, but they just had a complete fucking moron as your general manager. But let's start with that. I mean, has Kapler done enough to attract the marquee free agents? And I'm not talking about, the laundry list of middle-of-the-road players that are serviceable. I'm talking about those two guys. Because you get those two guys, and then a year after that, you get Mike Trout, and all of a sudden, you've got a fucking team. You got your 3, 4, and 5 where Kapler doesn't have to fucking switch the lineup all day long.
But he probably would.
You have Harper as your number 3, Trout's your cleanup, and Machado is protecting both of those motherfuckers. That is nasty. People don't realize it. Well, they in Philadelphia do. I'm sorry. I don't want to take that away from you guys. When I tell you some of you don't like Bryce Harper, I think you're a fucking moron. I actually do, in fact, mean that. However, I don't want to take away from your knowledge of the game because I do believe that a lot of people realize, man, if you got your solid 3, 4, and 5 hitter, the better the 3 hitter is, the better the 4 hitter is. The better the 4 hitter is, the better the 5 hitter is. And if you have that combination of the 3, pitchers can't work around you. Your base is loaded for your 6th hitter who's going to bat 280. All right, you're fucked one way or the other. All right, and I'm going to wind up serving meatballs after meatballs. And those 3 guys hitting balls in this park?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? If all of them aren't 40 fucking home run a year hitters, I'd be shocked. And there's 120 home runs a season and 320, 340 RBIs, 350. Ugh, please.
I think, to answer your
question. And not a goddamn one of them plays first base, which means we have that position open to bring in another fucking bomber.
Well, we'll just throw Hoskins there. Can we do that?
Yeah, we could throw Hoskins there. Well, wow. Now think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. If they could figure out how to get Roman Quinn. I'd love to see Roman Quinn have a full season at the leadoff position. Quinn, Hoskins, Harper, Trout, Machado? Sorry.
You think we could all get all 3 of those players?
I
think they could pay. The answer to your question, you said did Kapler
you're
going to
tie
enough?
Up $100 million a year for 10 years with 3 players.
Yeah.
You're going to tie up almost $1 billion with them. And I would take every single one of them because it would do nothing except catapult this team, A, to a level in which everybody is interested every year for a very, very long time. It's not them just spending money. It's them spending. It's a return on investment. It's an ROI.
Putting asses in the seats.
Well, seat revenue is bullshit. Let's be honest. All right, that's the funny part about these professional sports teams and how people actually go, oh, it matters putting fans in the seat. No, it doesn't. Look at Miami. No, it doesn't. Look at Buffalo. No, it doesn't.
Well,
look,
I mean,
it does not matter. Look at Arizona. All right. You don't have to sell a single fucking seat in any of the 4 major sports to make money.
To make money, that's true. But you can make more money. I mean, if you're averaging 27,000, you add 15,000 people per game for 80 games at an average of $30 a ticket.
When is $30 a ticket the average ticket?
Yeah, I don't know, 35. Everybody's
season tickets are lower.
No. No. Season tickets, lower level down there. That's like 50
well,
bucks.
All right, 30 bucks.
Yeah, 30 bucks.
15,000 times 30 times 80, 81.
Yeah.
Which
I mean, we're
is,
talking.
You're the math guy. 15,000 times 30, 40, 45,000 times
Here we
45,000 times 81. So
$1
million. $3.25 million.
Yeah, 30 times 81 times
3.2 million. 3.3 million. Somewhere around 3.3, 3.2.
36 million.
Over the seat? No.
For an average of 30 times 15,000 extra seats.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
I mean, that's.
Sorry, I missed a zero.
That's Manny Machado. I mean, that's what you do.
There you go. Yeah, you're right.
And that's not taking into your beers and your parking and your
seats. And that's not taking into consideration the massive price increase you can have on your suites.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. I think that putting asses in the seats is important because that means fans are interested again. They're buying your product. They're going to the games. They're buying your concessions. That's how it works, right?
I think there is no star. There isn't anything exciting about the current team. I think they have the money, and really is.
We all know they have the money.
To answer the question, did Kapler do enough? I don't think he necessarily did anything, and I don't good or bad. I don't think he did anything to dissuade people from coming. It's going to be dollars. You lay out the most money, you're going to sign the guy. Now, we saw this with the NBA and the star hunting thing. So just, you know, let's learn from recent memory here.
Uh-oh, Valivas's girl.
Natalie. What a sweet. And so much, not only a pretty face, but so much talent.
She does have
what
a lot of talent.
What a talented broadcaster.
She?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
She really has a lockdown on her job. She does a great job.
I think he's running down the Schuylkill right now to beat the shit out of both of you.
I mean, you know, she's got a face for TV and a
body for a swimsuit calendar
and skill for radio broadcasting. It's
and
great.
A talent to clean toilets. Right? Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't know. No. I'm missing that one. No.
She has no talent, is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I don't listen to.
I don't listen.
I don't listen to that crap either. But so with baseball, you have to. All we can do is lay it out there. Now, we're not going to be privy to the negotiations, and perhaps Bryce Harper wants to go to Chicago. I don't know. But all we can do is lay out the most money, and we can. You know, we signed Jim. Remember, we signed Jim Thome. Well, what the? How do we get Jim Thome? It's just like you just give him more money. How do you sign John Running? You just offer
more
money.
You give him a 10-year deal as opposed to an 8-year deal.
That's right.
You know, it is what it is. And then you put up with the fact that they're going to be Ryan Howard the last couple of years of their contract. It's a rebuilding period after that. That's the problem with baseball. That is the real problem with baseball. Once you sign that guy, all right, Alex Rodriguez, fucking useless in his last couple of years.
Yeah.
He never put up numbers.
Oh, God, what's his name over in Anaheim?
Pujols?
Yeah, Pujols. As useful as tits on a fish right now.
Right. Now, these guys are young, though. You know, Harper is, what, 25?
25.
Yes. And Machado's 23, 24, something like that.
Let's not forget how young Bryce Harper. He's been around a while, but he
started
still
at 19. Yeah, he's
well,
young.
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
Man, that's what you want.
And I think he'll forgive all the Philly fans if there's enough zeros on that contract.
No, he doesn't care.
I don't think he does either.
No, none of them do.
And once he starts in a home run or two, guess what? All be forgiven.
We also got to consider when you look at, you know, the whole talk is about the Philly collapse. And we're not giving any recognition to the fact that they played way above their means. They relied, you know, everything. Their starting pitching was great. Their defense sucked all year. Worst in the league, easily. They sucked. But they won somehow. You don't win. Yeah. You win in any sport when your defense is the worst team.
You whore.
But
it's like their offense sucked all year. They still pulled out wins here and there.
Pulled out.
Aim for the belly button.
you're aiming too low. But, you know, so it's kind of like, is anyone happy about it? You got to remember the first 100 or 120 games or whatever it was a collapse isn't good. It's not good. But if they were 16 games over 500, they were probably a 500-ish team. Now, they could have won.
I still have a problem with what you're saying.
It's true, though. It's just true.
No, way over what they should have played, but they played way under what they should have played the last 2 months. And the problem that I have, more so than anything, and we've talked about the regression of the Phillies, it's just when they were hitting stride, and bringing momentum back into this town as far as baseball goes, they immediately started to shit the bed. They had a couple games, and I remember it was against
What can you narrow that down to? Because
they have no
heart. Is that it? They showed heart for like a month.
I think that's
bullshit. Or do you think there was the bad managing? Because to me, like, I understand what you're saying. Their defense was not very good all year long. Their offense was decent, but they were able to somehow eke out wins.
Right.
But why did it stop?
Because the starting pitching regressed a little bit. They weren't terrible. They were just really good.
What is it, Pivetta?
Pivetta, Arrieta.
He hasn't won a game since August, I think, right?
They were.
It's a had now, right? It's past tense.
They were overperforming, and then they just they regressed. And if you think someone is good, I'm making this up here, okay? So don't hold me to the stats. But if you think someone is going to go 14-10, you know, a third pitcher, a fourth pitcher, and you know, in July he's 10-4, you know, and he ends up 14-10. You're like, well, that dude fucking sucked down the end. But he kind of ended up where you thought he would be.
You know, you have no... You have no... Marbles!
Marbles?
Marbles! You have no marbles!
I was going to mention that, you know... We were like the movie Major League this year. Like, we're like, oh man, we're starting to win. This is great. People started going to the games.
They're still shitty.
Yeah, they sucked.
Yeah, they are what they finished above where they went. If you pick the over in Vegas before the season start, you won money. Now that doesn't make anyone happy when they collapse down the end.
I think it's sad that they couldn't.
I just think they just weren't good.
I don't know. You know what? I mean, there's so many arguments to both sides. And you're right. Gentlemen,
we promised each other that we weren't talk about the Phillies too much tonight.
That's true.
No, you know what? It's good talk, though. You know,
This is the last of the year.
This is the last conversation we're going to have about them until spring training when we do another show down at Shepherd's over St. Paddy's Day
weekend.
There
you go. Boom.
We're fucking disappointed.
How about that, baby?
That's good.
We're fucking disappointed, and that's the
bottom line. We're disappointed, but the stuff that we're talking about right now is relevant because, you know, in a month, all of a sudden, you know, free agency's coming up, and they're going to be relevant in the free agent market. We're going to have, you know, baseball meetings in, when is that?
It's usually in December.
December, right?
That's when all the Holiday and Cliff Lee.
So. We should wind down the Phillies conversation, but this was good, and I'm not upset about talking about it because, you know, right now they're undefeated next year.
That's true.
And the slate's clean. You know, we get to watch again other teams in the playoffs for the next month, and that's frustrating. But you know, we all know that this was the outcome of the team, and even when they did start playing well, we did. You know, say, hey, you know, they still aren't built to win a championship. You know, they might eke out a playoff series or something. You know, some excellent pitcher lays out a meatball by mistake, and all of a sudden Hoskins cracks one for a salami, and they win a game. But this team is just not built that way. I do think we're all Eagles all the time right now, but we're going to do that coming back from break. Don't forget again. Our fantastic sponsors, our beer sponsors on our way out to our first break, Miller Lite and Yards, our good friends over here in Northern Liberties that we can see from our beautiful studio skyline. You guys, we'll be back in just a few minutes. All right, coming back from break here on the DQ Sports Blizzard. This is episode 6. We do hope you guys are enjoying the show. As this is a project Diaz and I wanted to start for a little while. We're getting a lot of good publicity from you guys, a lot of good feedback. And we do want to let you know that we appreciate the support. And we're going to continue to build on this. This is not a little project for us. We want this to be a big project for us. We want to be able to do more, grow the studio. We were talking a little bit about concept. In the green room here, just in that short break period, and Rex was kind enough to admit that he doesn't know stats. And to be honest with you, most of us don't. You know, we can give you a little bit of statistics. You know, if you want to, if you want to sit on stats, if you want a radio show that sits on stats, you know, I'd listen to afternoon radio in the Philadelphia market. I'm not going to tell you where, but definitely 97.5 over the other one. but we're going to be a fan station for the sports fan. I don't really fucking care about stats. I mean, there are stats that you care about.
Yeah, you see one that's interesting that, there's a trend that I've been noticing, and this kind of...
Like, here's the stat in the last baseball statement of the year for us. Aaron Altair batting 188. I'm sorry, you shouldn't be in the fucking lineup. There's the stats for your ass from one Samuel Jackson.
Another one I just read was how many... sacks the Eagles gave up in a two-game span was the most in eight fucking seasons.
And there we are.
So segue. Some of those will jump off at me, but you know, for the most part, I'm not going to be able to sit here and say, "Oh, they're at such and such percentage on third down conversions versus AFC."
You know what? Actually, that's perfect. So anyway, that's the kind of show we want to be. We want to be just something you enjoy listening to, something you don't have to think about, something you can sit back and relax and enjoy. And on that note, let's talk about the Eagles versus Titans.
Should we talk about the fun stuff of the weekend or the bad stuff?
Yeah, you know, I'd rather get into the game because we're going to be negative about that. And then, you know, as we come out of that, we'll start talking about
we can talk about fun.
Yeah, about the fun shit that went on. And I think Rex hits the nail on the head with the problem with Sunday's game. Offensive line was terrible. I know you wanted to talk about it. So,
exactly. I agree.
You know, knock yourself out, bro.
Just looking online, reading stories, hearing, you know, the worst thing about the town, the best thing is after a win, everyone's in a great mood. The worst thing is after a loss, I don't want to talk about it at all. Let's talk about fucking Netflix or something like that. We got a Monday Night Sixers game. Let's go
lesbian
talk about
porn.
That. Yeah, whatever it's got to be. Whatever you're into. I don't know what you like to do there, but that's good.
Well,
but,
guy or girl, if you're not into lesbian porn, I think there's something wrong with you.
There is. Let's stick to sports, Quimby. Stick to sports.
Okay.
Yeah, that immediately distracted me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was trying to think about something more pleasant than this game on Sunday, but go ahead.
But everyone talks about the defense and the defense and the defense and Jalen Mills and Jalen Mills and Jalen Mills, and we'll cover that. But for me, it's the offensive line.
So
for me, it's the offensive line.
I think the sad thing is that like, as a former offensive lineman, that me and Hollis got to
talk. You are offensive.
Yes. Is that I think our best offensive lineman, Lane Johnson, has been coming up short all season.
I think all of them have. I think you're right. I mean, in individual plays, if it's this guy this time, it's this guy the next time. And
that was a drive-killing play, his penalty, too.
Which one, dude? Right. Which one?
Right.
And which player?
Yeah.
The stat you said, I didn't know that stat, that, you know, the 9 sacks in the last 2 games. What points out, I don't need the stat on it because I've never seen Carson Wentz get beat up like this in 2 games in a row.
And if you watch him after some of these sacks, he's fucking angry.
There was one last game.
Oh, yeah.
If you
and
see,
he should be.
You see,
100%.
And he doesn't blame him. He's not going to blame him in the media, but he is pissed, and he should be. Mm.
There's something, you know, the offensive line, it was truly offensive. But also with the play, again, someone pull out the stats if you want. Look at the play calling. I think it was more balanced in the overtime. They ran it more. But we all know you're an offensive line, Rex, and I'm a soccer player. I'm an elite soccer player. I'm also an elite football knower. So, but I've never played. But from what I always hear from offensive linemen is, you know, passing block, it's an important part of they actually have to do it. But they love run blocking because they're attacking. You're pushing forward. You're the one initiating contact and not back on your heels. So if you got an offensive line that's struggling against an underrated Tennessee defense,
let's never forget the fact that the Colts defense and the Titans defenses are two of the worst defenses.
I don't know, man. They're better than you think.
Well,
Tennessee's good.
Either they're underrated or we made them look great.
Well, and it's also early in the season.
Yeah. And they do
we're not statistics, but you're talking about statistics from the first 3 games.
All right.
Regardless of even if it's not going your way and they're a middle of the road defense, they're not terrible. Both of those defenses are not terrible. They're young. They might not have the big names like LA does or the Eagles or the Vikings or something like that. But they're not bad. Okay. They might be unsung and they're, you know, just building their way up. But hey, listen, your quarterback's getting beat up. Why don't we get some push? Let's call some more runs. We have a 14-point lead.
Not only that, but like one thing I always
on the road
Andy Reid for was he called that fucking draw play god so many fucking times that everyone in the stadium knew it was coming on a third and long, but doesn't seem like Doug likes it.
I think the play calling on offense this year has been vanilla at best.
Do you think that is?
And I don't. I think you have to blame some of that on injury. You have to blame some of that on
personnel. Not personnel. Being there.
When a defense is that aggressive and they're getting in the backfield that much, draw play is exactly what you call.
Right.
I get ahead of it.
Do you think now that with the play calling is that because? You know, I'm not accepting Super Bowl hangover. I don't think anyone in there is a Super Bowl hangover. I think it's personnel. But what about Frank Reich leaving and DeFilippo leaving? Does that have anything to do with it? I mean, the rest of the guys have been there already.
I've watched a couple of games with Frank Reich so far, and I'm not overly impressed. I saw him shit the bed against Cincinnati. I saw him shit the bed with the Eagles. And I saw him go for... A fourth and
yeah, that was ill advised.
And said I would do that 10 out of 10 times. Well, then you're fucking stupid, Frank. You know, coming from BBD,
it is for his first head coaching job. So I mean,
don't care.
All right, you don't think he gets a little bit don't of care. Leeway?
No, zero. That's the kind of shit that if he says he's going to do that 10 out of 10 times, absolutely not. No, disagree. But besides the offensive line.
Right. Yeah, let's go. Let's
stay here. On offense though for a second because Aguilar dropped two.
I thought it was like three or four.
There's two in the first quarter.
The one that bounced off his face mask.
Yeah, I mean, come on, bro,
dude.
And this is a guy who, you know, that's what we used to expect from him, and now that comes back around, I'm going to say something at the end of this.
He was a healthy bench. Remember.
Yeah, he was a healthy scratch.
He's a healthy bench because he does have – there's something going on upstairs.
Oh, he's a fucking train wreck, dude.
So I don't – like when someone's saying like I look at DeSean Jackson to see the swagger he has, that almost worries me a little bit because
– What do you mean?
I like a guy that's confident and he gets it done, but I don't want him to look at somebody that drops the ball – at the half-yard line before he crosses the end zone. Because he's got too much
and that was that guy's third game of his career. I remember that back at good old McFadden's way back when.
But DeSean did that in high school.
On that note, rest in peace, McFadden's ballpark.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I can't. Why is that closing?
I know everything about it, and I'm really not able to talk about it. But,
okay.
It's just, the deal they had with the Phillies was not conducive to – anything good for them if the team wasn't playing well. It's almost like Aramark's contract with stadium concessions. And on a $9 beer, they get a dollar. The team gets $8. Wow. Just in case you wanted to know. So
I used to go to McFadden's instead of Xfinity, because I had better memories at McFadden's than I do.
We did, and then it became untenable.
But this has been kind of a rolling snowball for them. Now, the problem was, as this team started to regress and get worse, that was right when it was time for McFadden's to get a facelift. I mean, that place has not had a new fucking TV put in there since it was open.
Right.
And Sully is not going to spend the money because he... Probably, well, I knew this 3 years ago. They weren't coming back when the contract was up because they couldn't make any money with the team playing like shit. You know, because they're getting that micro point on the dollar. And the only way they can make any money is with volume. I feel bad for a lot of the people over there. I feel bad for JB. I know JB will wind up being successful somewhere else. And I also, a lot of our fantastic memories are from there.
Yeah.
You know, please, our first 9 years of organized tailgates took place at McFadden's ballpark. And, we're in a much better situation with our friends over at Xfinity. By the way, a quick note to thank our friends over at Xfinity for the tailgate tent and area they gave us last week.
Wow, what a savior that was to the tailgate, right?
Yep.
I mean, it
100%.
It rained the whole
time.
And
rained more than we thought. And the lots, I did take a couple little laps around the lot. Lots were empty. The people didn't come down because the extras. If you didn't have a ticket, I'll watch at a bar or watch at home.
Well, there's an interesting point there, and we'll get to that. But also thanks to our friends at Cavanaugh's and our good friend Kenny Hutchings, who bought ponchos for everybody for that game.
Sean Henderson, you're not getting a poncho for the rest of the year.
You're getting a fucking Disney poncho.
Yeah, we'll get him a Frozen. I'm going to get him a Frozen poncho.
We did get reports, however, now that in the Wells Fargo lot, they kicked people out 45 minutes into the game. So if, in fact, you're just coming down there to tailgate, our Philly brass has been instructed by the teams. The teams are the ones accepting this to get everybody out of there.
Do you know why?
Well, I hope the only reason would be that to ease up the traffic pattern on the way out of the stadium, because to be frank, it fucking blows.
It's possible.
It sucks. I literally, you know what I hate even more? I don't mind dropping $100 on a cab to get me the first one the fuck out of there. I just hate negotiating with those scumbags in that car.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how much you want to spend? All right, well, first of all, you're regulated.
Yeah.
All right, but I'm not going to sit here and argue with you.
Can I?
Here's $100. Get me the fuck out of here and take me home.
As someone that travels a lot, and I know this is not sports related, but one of the biggest reasons that's never said about why Uber and Lyft are successful is because cabbies the world over are fucking scumbags.
They're scumbags.
They're fucking scumbags, and no one ever wants to say that.
Don't put too fine a point on this one, bro. Most Uber drivers are just cab drivers in a fucking suit.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
UberX. But Uber Black is just too fucking expensive these days.
I'm sticking with Uber Black because I feel that is the most far removed from a cab driver.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
You get more of the white glove feature. But, you know, in the lots, it's I want everyone to have a good time. I could see them saying, you know, what the hell are you doing just drinking in the lot? Like, I don't go to a concert and just drink in the lot. I don't go. It's getting less common. And just with everyone being so hypersensitive about everything and liability and all this stuff, you know. Go to Xfinity. Go to Chickie's. Go to Palladium. You know, go wherever you got to go. I
wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't I wouldn't stop them doing it, but I can understand why that's being, you know, requested.
I get it. But you touch on that liability, but we're going to get back to sports after that. Yeah. If people would stop fucking suing people for their own fault, then we wouldn't have to worry about this.
Imagine
and I deal with it on a regular basis.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So let's get to the defense right now, because there's a few things that we do want to talk about. And 3 points, 4 points if you want to use Jalen Mills twice. I know you don't want to hear about it, but the 3 points starting with Jalen Mills is, where's Sidney Jones in this equation?
Inside?
I mean, he was supposed to be your fucking guy.
It's his fourth game ever, fifth game.
Don't care. Right. He was supposed to walk into that role after that Achilles healed.
I don't know I don't remember anyone anointing him.
He was slotted to be the best cornerback coming out of college last year. Outside
four,
of the
that's
injury.
Why he was considered a bargain by us, because we took a risk on him.
I hear.
Because
game
he had
four.
That injury.
So, okay, well, hold on a second. All right. Is he just not there yet? What's the report on him? You know, why has nobody said any? Because have you heard anything about Sidney Jones all year?
No.
Good or bad?
Anything.
I've heard some good things. I've heard some bad things. But I mean, as far as
but have you heard much?
Not much.
Does his name come up in conversation much at all?
No.
His name should come up as much as Bobby Taylor's.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Right.
Right. Not at all. And we don't see that. So that's a concern. You know, McLeod not being there, obviously hurt. And that's one of That's one of the Howie-isms, one of the top five reasons that NFL teams are learning how to build as a result of Howie Roseman, because Howie realized that you don't need fantastic cornerbacks, but you have to have great safeties. That's where you spend your money. You don't spend your money on a Nnamdi Asamoah. Right. You don't spend it on
Darrell Revis at age 33.
Asante Samuel.
Asante Samuel, right.
You know, that's not where it goes. It goes into your safeties. And as long as you have serviceable cornerbacks, you're going to be in good shape. So I guess McLeod it fit the bill. We didn't have our strong safety there this week, and it hurt. And just overall, the defense not getting any pressure.
Defense is not getting the same pressure as it was last year.
They got touted for it already. After game one, oh my God, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the pressure the Eagles getting. Well, that's probably because fucking Atlanta's offensive line stinks too.
This is where I have my own thoughts and opinions as I was watching the game, and where I would love to know the statistics. Someone, I don't want to find him. I don't want to track him. I don't want
to
look him
up. I'm not even sure if I really want to talk to him either.
Well, but just I want people to tell me if statistically is what I think I'm seeing is right. I mean, the defense that last year. First off, this could just be a one-off game. This could be a trap game, something, just a one-off game. But last year, when you're up by two touchdowns, this Eagles defense got turnovers.
We
did not get turnovers this year.
Let's not forget, we were up 17-3.
Right, we're up two touchdowns.
Halftime.
We're up two touchdowns. So I thought this was like, all right, well, you know, we're going to be burying. They're going to have to throw. We're going to get our pressure. They're taking, like, not five-step drops. Marcus Mariota, who's like the worst quarterback in the league, is taking like 9-step drops. I'm exaggerating, but he's just got all the time in the world to throw. And whether you hate Jalen Mills,
and they couldn't bring him down, even if they got a hand on him.
That's the skill that guy does have. I mean, he as a runner. They're just not getting the turnovers or the pressure as much in the last couple of games. Well, I mean, Indianapolis, they did a better job. Still, though, comes down to you're on the road. Tennessee isn't anything. They're not winning the Super Bowl this year. They're not a bad team. They made the playoffs last year. You're playing on the road. You lost your safety, and you held them to 20 points. You should win that game.
Another thing about, like, statistics, let's look at the Buffalo Bills. They get absolutely crushed by the Ravens, and then they go into Minneapolis and crush the Vikings. Look at the Jaguars. They were held to what, 6 points?
6 points, yeah. Against Tennessee.
Two weeks ago?
Against Tennessee.
So, I mean, like, either, like, there's no ability to predict how good or bad a defense is going to be. Or, you know, that to me is, like, maybe why I don't have the ability to study this statistics, or I just don't appreciate them because they change so much on a given day.
Well,
on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, you also have to consider other things like scheme and game flow and what's going on in the game and weather conditions and all that. I mean, all this extra shit. It's not just what's on paper is exactly how it went. You know, Buffalo got 3 turnovers on Minnesota's first 3 drives and got, you know, 17 or 14 points, 13 points out of it. You know, that's before Minnesota even, you know, your second play from scrimmage is an intercept, is a pick six. Then you give the ball back, and then the third play on that drive is a strip sack. You know, you get the ball, you score a touchdown. All of a sudden, you haven't even done anything. You're up 10-0. You've run 5 offensive plays. You're up 10-0.
But Buffalo was considered to suck, and yet they were still able to do that against a team that went to the playoffs last year and was considered to be great this year.
Yeah, I mean, but what I'm talking about watching that game, the defense, quote-unquote, sucked because of those last two drives. The offense sucked all day. They dropped balls. Couldn't contain. Wentz got beat up. They didn't run the ball. I mean, I just have more problems on the offensive side than the defensive side. And Quimby, we were talking earlier today. Here's a stat for you, Rex. The Eagles are 10th in the league at points against. So they're not, you know, top five. 10th. Very respectable. They are 26th in points scored. So that means they're pretty good on defense, and they suck on offense.
They're averaging 21.
Their defense is giving up 20 points a game, and their offense is averaging 21.
Right.
So guess what? They're 2-2.
And I would bet.
And that's exactly what you should be.
At that stat.
At that stat.
I bet if the offense was even just league average at 16, I bet the defense would look better. Because the offense is giving away the ball. They're having short drives. You're putting the defense on the field more often than it really should be. Which is, it's going to wear them down.
But to play devil's advocate with the offense or the defense in overtime is that they gave up 2 fourth down conversions.
Absolutely.
Giant fourth down conversions.
You're right. This is my point, though. What I'm saying is we can just isolate that one drive. And listen, it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty. They need to step up and hold him there. But the offense keeps fucking sucking and keeps turning the ball over and keeps knocking. You know, they were like a historic third down team last year. They're just not doing it this year. Carson looks – the only players that are playing well are Carson Wentz, Malcolm Jenkins, Alshon Jeffrey, and Zach Ertz. That's it.
So to bring up another point is that a good friend of mine, he's a Red Sox fan, and they won like some sort
of – Why is he a good friend of yours?
We went to school together.
Okay. Well, Red Sox fan. Okay.
Yeah, he's actually from Connecticut, so he has a good excuse.
All
right. They won like whatever, 108 games or whatever this year. And I said, once upon a time, we had a team that won over 100 games, and we lost to the wild card team. And
that's right.
We haven't recovered since. And I said, don't get too excited. And to me, that's one of those things like where we got so many bounces, if you will, with that 100-plus win Phillies team. And I think last year, a lot of stuff went our way. And I don't want to take away from like – the next man up mentality that seemed to work so amazingly, the play calling by Dougie P that went, I think, really good last year. But I really think that there is a bullseye on our back, and I think these guys need to fucking step the fuck up and play harder.
Before the season started, we could talk about in July – when is Wentz coming back, and the offensive line, and Peters, and he's being held out of camp, training camp, or the preseason games, and Sproles being held out, and is Ajayi practicing, and when's Alshon coming back? And at the time, my opinion was, man, as long as they're like, they could be like 5-3 or 6-2 at the end of after London going into the bye, man, I feel fucking great because we got 5 division games out of the final 8.
I think the Jags kill them right now.
On a neutral field?
On a neutral field, I think the Jags kill them. And it's not a neutral field. We'll have more fans there. Trust me, I know I'm still buying tickets.
I think the turf is better for them, though. I think the turf is better for the Jags.
It's a grass field. We're going to take a break on the DQ Blizzard. Yeah, I'll talk all night.
That's not how you go to break, Diaz. Just so you guys know, this going to break sponsored by our good friends at Kavanaugh's and Delilah's. When we come back for our final segment, we're going to talk a little bit. Think about this for just a second. Does this Eagles team like to play in the heat? All right, our final segment here, the DQ Sports Blizzard, Episode 6. Again, we really appreciate all the support you guys are giving us and all the props. This final segment sponsored by Bucks County Baseball and our good friends over 422 Jeep Limerick. I did see something coming out. You guys, I have no radio experience whatsoever, but I know a lot of dumb fucks that are in radio, and I don't feel as though it's something I can't grasp. But if it looks like I'm pausing a little bit here and there, Diaz has it easy.
Well, let me tell you this.
Shut up.
You don't have a whole lot of experience, but you know what? You do a better job broadcasting than broadcasters do a good job of tailgating. if you know what I'm saying, this is a new venture for us. But you know, we got the, you want to travel and see your team. You want to travel and see the birds. You want to have a great experience. You want to have a first class
awesome
situation. You want to float on a boat. Yeah, we got that locked down. We're working on the broadcasting. You probably should.
We are. And in all fairness, I would like to thank WIP on this segment.
Why would you like to thank them?
Yeah, please elaborate.
Because if it wasn't for them going behind my back to the tailgate company that we were going to use, I would have never found the General Jackson. And you guys realize the implications of that, and we're going to get into our Nashville experience. But WIP, thank you once again. Your continued
bullshit.
No, I wasn't going to say that. Your continued moves continue to make me more successful, and I appreciate that.
The General Jackson was a huge success.
We're not talking about that yet, though, bro.
Okay.
We're going to get there at the end. Coming out of the break, or coming into the break, I was saying, hey, I wonder about what this team thinks about, or what do you guys think about the team not playing well in heat? I don't know if we have a stat for that, but it looks like the team's gassed at the end again. There's really no talking about it. I don't think there's much of a debate about it. In all fairness, I kind of wish Sunday was a little cooler. Kind of wish it was a little cooler.
Going into this Sunday.
Yep.
It wasn't that hot, though.
No, we're saying going against Minnesota.
Oh, I kind of wish it was a little cooler. Yeah.
It'll be getting dark by halftime, so.
It's true, so it could be going down, but.
It is a 4 o'clock game, right?
When the game starts, the hottest time of the day is 4 o'clock. And
high of 81, low of 65.
Kind of wish it didn't break the 80s, you know. But
that's not Zuba's weather.
Interesting rumors started to come out this week, and that it's that the Eagles are very interested in Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I've seen this too.
They should be.
I agree.
Every team should be.
However, it does go against their grain. It goes against everything that we've noticed them since the DeMarco Murray.
I disagree, since
the DeMarco Murray debacle, I don't believe that Howie wants to spend money on running backs. He's going to figure out a way to get them.
I think Howie's smarter than that, man.
Well, here's the deal. And let's talk about what we know about that trade right now, or the trade rumors. If that was to take place, all right, first of all, the Seahawks wanted him. They were going to trade him straight up for Earl Thomas, and unfortunately Earl Thomas broke his leg this week. So much for that trade. All right. I think they want a middle round third pick.
Third or fourth. Yeah, if they can get a third, they'll jump on
that. But you're getting them a rental. It's a rental for the rest of the season. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to come back to it, and you guys are going to hate me for it, but I'm going to say it again. All right. This takes place. You're going to give up a third-round pick. Okay. Their third and fourth-round picks have been fucking shit for years. Or nothing that, you know, we really care about. You're going to have to free up some cap space. So Brandon Graham or Nick Foles are gone. All right.
They're both gone. If you want to re-sign Lev Bell.
If you want to re-sign him.
You don't have to re-sign him.
You don't. You're giving up a third pick for another great chance at a Super Bowl run, and I think that gives them the edge that they need right now.
If they let go of LeGarrette Blount.
I'm not done.
Okay.
Because you just stole my thunder, you cock. You got to stop interrupting. I'm literally going to put your microphone on mute until you raise your hand and are called on. Because what you would not have had to worry about doing is moving a lot of cap space if, in fact, LeGarrette Blount was still on this team. And where I think he's been kind of irrelevant in Detroit.
Invisible.
He's still healthy. They just don't know how to use him, and I think we did. I think we used him for exactly what we needed. When we needed grinding yards, he gave it to us. And he stepped up every time, and that guy has stepped up. He's got 2 Super Bowl championships. So, on that... No. You're not going to take that away from me, my argument, or him. Absolutely not. LeGarrette Blount was a serviceable running back, but the guy that you wanted the ball in the hands of when it came down to it. He performed every time. He was a team player. He was a leader, and he was the guy that you could give the ball to and say, get me 4 yards. And
he always wanted what was best for the team. He's an emotional leader.
Fuck that shit, okay?
No.
He got you the grinding yards when you needed him. All right, San Diego, they couldn't close the door on the L.A. Chargers last year. You put the ball in Blount's hands in the fourth quarter, and he demolished them. He said, fuck you, pay me. But So, anyway, Diaz, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell and what it would cost this team and where it would put them? Give me an overall.
Well, yeah, you got a lot right there, and you shut down Rex, so I did a good job of not interrupting there at all. But but I think what happens is, the first thing is, you said this goes against the grain of what Howie does. You're wrong. He made an October trade last year for Jay Ajayi.
Cost him nothing.
Okay. What I'm saying is,
I'm talking, what I mean here, all right, sorry.
You said he's not going to spend the money. He's like, it doesn't cost money to get Lev Bell right now.
It doesn't. It doesn't, but you're getting him for a one-year rental.
I got you. We got Jay Ajayi for a two-year rental with serious knee injuries.
Okay, so.
And Jay Ajayi is banged up. Jay Ajayi has a broken back right now.
Jay Ajayi can't hold a candle to Le'Veon Bell, period.
That's right. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to make the trade for quote-unquote nothing, the way I see it is one of the inconsistencies or one of the good things that Howie has done is, you know, draft picks. I'm a Sixers fan. You know, I love draft picks, but draft picks do have to tend to turn out into be players. And if you're worried about trading a third round pick to get Lev Bell, a fourth round pick this year, maybe he could pull off a fifth round and a third round next year. I don't know what my Jimmy Johnson trade chart is. Lev Bell is the best running back in the league.
They should be blowing the Steelers to get him right now.
I don't know. But then again, you know, Lev Bell's got to show up for work, and that's, you know, you don't know.
That's not why he's not showing up for work.
No, hold up for a second. All right, I understand. He's showing up in week 7 for their bye week in Pittsburgh because he can get paid. It counts as a week. He gets paid. It's their bye week. And then he plans to play on week 8. That's what's going to happen. What I'm saying, though, is if you make the trade, he's still not under contract, and you have to sign the contract. So it's dependent on him signing the contract.
Can I also bring up the point?
Hold up for a second. So he has to sign the contract of the franchise tender on the...
I got him covered from here on. He's muted until he raises his hand.
Okay, yeah. So this is the deal. What do I think? I don't think that that's fixing it right now. I'd sure as hell go for it, though. And the longer you wait, the lower the price comes down.
Can I bring up something about the lower the price? Connor, for the Steelers right now, is running for his life, and he is a fucking bargain. And that is why Le'Veon Bell will play again this year, because he realizes that this guy is going to replace him. That's why you want to go after them,
again,
right?
You're four games in,
that's not true at all. First off, James Conner had a great first game. He's been average at best in the last three games. He's not as good as Lev Bell. Lev Bell doesn't want what happened to Earl Thomas happen to him. That's the only reason why.
Well, he doesn't want to play until he's under some sort of contract.
And he's got to show up by week 10 or the whole season doesn't count for free agency. Going up for week 7 because it's their bye week and he doesn't have to play, but he gets paid. And then he'll play week 8 and 9 and, you know, going forward. So that's why he's doing it that way. You know, as far as making a trade, what you have to do is, man, Lev Bell.
Do you like the idea of him being here?
I do. I'm still worried about the offensive line, though. You know what I mean? We have Jay Ajayi's hurt. Corey Clement's hurt. You know, are those guys going to
feature back
help?
Is Wendell Smallwood. That's fucking crazy.
Hold up for a second. You'll get to speak. What I think is, what are you going to do with the fourth? Are you going to get a Lev Bell? You know, we're the champs. We've got a somewhat clear path to the playoffs in this division.
Everyone else still does suck.
Is Washington going to bite my ass or something like this? Because the Giants are trash. Dallas is trash. I'm not worried about them. Redskins.
Speaking of running backs that came at a bargain, fuck the Redskins.
He's not playing this week. He's got a foot injury.
Oh, he does.
It's not. Hold up there, listeners. Captain's on hold right now. He's going to tell me I'm wrong because he's down there. And he's going to tell me Diaz doesn't know what he's talking about. But Peterson, but Peterson has not practiced this week, and he's got some sort of foot.
Yeah, two touchdowns last week and 140 yards, something like that.
Yeah, he was on bye last week, so 2 weeks ago. But you know,
they start byes in the third week,
week 4.
Oh, do they? Oh, that's right. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So, but
again, stats fail us.
Yeah, that's right. You just plan out Nashville, plan out London. You don't have to worry about the stats. We'll correct you. All you got to do is plan my parties, and then you're fine. Lev Bell, the value of the third or fourth round pick next year's draft. I would trade him a third round, you know, in the 2020 draft, if a sixth this year or a fifth this year. You're not going to get that much Pittsburgh from someone else. You know, the thing is, the only thing I don't know is, and someone can, we got to figure out, is the prorated franchise tag running back contract. Does that fit within the available cap money right now?
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
That's the question.
You are correct, sir.
So Rex is pissing his pants over here trying to speak.
And the best part was you just weren't letting him.
No. That's what we do.
Yeah. Hold on, Rex.
This is filibuster. We're filibustering on the DQ Blizzard.
Because his mic was up and he was doing this.
Let's talk about how amazing the reporting is by Natalie. So one thing about LeGarrette Blount, once again, is that we didn't replace the big back. So
you have Clement.
I think you think he's bigger than he is, man. He's not that big.
He's not that big. And guess what? He is more of a receiving threat than he is a big back threat.
Yeah.
And the thing I wanted
fuck
to point
you,
out.
Fuck you.
One thing I wanted to point out is that one thing I think that we might not be appreciating when it comes to the offensive line is that they keep catching. That's what it is, pass blocking. You're catching and hoping to not get called for holding.
Right, that's right, yeah.
Oh, so, my God, I am wrong.
So when you suddenly have this 260...
He's only 210 pounds.
Yeah, you've been saying this for 3 weeks. I, you know, just let you go.
Yeah.
There's so many things you say wrong. Some things we just let you go, you know, but that's okay.
I think... What was LeGarrette Blount? 250 pounds, 260 pounds?
That's aggressive. He's more like 235.
240. No, he's 240. Solid 240.
Imagine if we had another big back where these D linemen, they don't worry about this guy. They're catching a guy that's 190 pounds, 210 pounds. That's not a big deal. LeGarrette Blount coming at you when you had a couple pass plays and suddenly LeGarrette Blount's going to fucking come crushing through the line? You're not going to fucking rush at that quarterback like that anymore.
I think you guys are overrating LeGarrette Blount, man.
No, I
don't know how you say that based on what he did for us last year.
And Le'Veon Bell is going to be the answer to that. And that's what I'm trying to prove is that Le'Veon Bell is going to be that guy that's going to crush through that line, and he's going to make those defensive linemen work a half step less at coming after the quarterback because they know he might be coming through the line.
Le'Veon Bell is 225.
Yeah, but he's not that type of runner. He's not.
You know what he is? He's such a patient runner.
Yeah, he's patient. He waits for the blocks, waits for the hole.
But because of his it is deceiving, all right? Because he gets through more holes than most backs.
Where's the drop on that bitch? Sorry, I'm sorry. No, I can't believe Quimby said that.
Plus, he's on my fantasy team. He hasn't done a fucking thing.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
I finally won a game. By the way, without two starting running
backs. You know why? Because Alshon Jeffrey came back this week. That's right.
Finally.
Anyway,
he's patient and he waits for the holes, but he gets through a lot of those holes because of his size.
Yeah.
All right.
He's the best back in the league.
You can't bring him down where he's not that punishing runner. He's just simply, you just can't get him to go down once he gets some speed.
Right. He's not carrying guys.
Right.
He's not Jerome Bettis, but I mean,
And he's certainly not putting his head down. And as a matter of fact, he's one of the proponents in the league because of the numerous drug infractions that he's had, that because of the pain that he suffers through the games, why he smokes a lot of marijuana. And he's the last guy that's putting his head down to try to inflict any pain. He's going to try to skirt around it. But the fact of the matter is with his elusiveness and his size, that if you get a leg on, if you get an arm on his leg, you're probably not going to trip him up. Nope. So I'm a fan of the move. I think we're probably spending more time on this than we should be over him.
The thing is, though, the problem though now is that Pittsburgh only has two games left without him. They have Week 5 and Week 6. Week 7's their bye, and they expect them to have
a
stretch.
I don't see Le'Veon Bell wanting to come back to the Steelers. At this point, I think that relationship shot.
They have disrespected him too much.
The thing is, he has to. If he doesn't come back by week 10, he is not going to be a free agent this year, and he's going to be stuck with them another year that they can franchise.
But it's just like Jay Ajayi. Remember how disgruntled he was when he left the Miami Dolphins? And guess what? He did great for us.
And he has to show up at Pittsburgh. I get it. Like this holding out thing, it's over in either week 7 or week 10.
I don't think he does.
He has to show up, or he does not get an accrued season.
Not show up as a player.
He has to show up. I don't think you understand how the contracts work. He does not
get... No, I'm not saying like show up to a game. I'm saying show up and perform. His talent outweighs that.
All right. I think what we need to do is move on from Le'Veon.
Yeah, Bell. Yeah. Right. Lev Bell.
Please come back, Le'Veon, because I need you on my
fantasy
team.
Well, this show would not be me influenced without... I hate being the guy that talks about officiating. And Diaz is shaking his head, and I know Rex is shaking his head a little bit.
Oh,
too.
I agree with you.
With two minutes to go in overtime, man, you have got to put that fucking flag in your pocket. The pass interference call questionable. That holding call. The fact that he turned his. I don't know, man. Like weak. Now.
It's weak. I'm more now, upset that Wentz was getting hit in the face and they weren't fucking calling shit.
Even more so on that in that last drive. Okay, you're in a zone defense, but who was that fucking cornerback on the weak side that let a receiver
Corey Graham.
Huh?
Was it Corey Graham?
I think it was Corey Graham.
Yeah.
Who let the receiver get 2 yards on him. Where do you think he was going to go? He didn't even look at him. Your only job is to fucking look at this guy. Doesn't even look at him. Like, the entire time, what were you fucking doing?
I never get that, and this is something maybe, Rex, you can explain to me, too, being the football dude or the player dude, because this happens on offensive line play a lot. Corey Graham, on that one play, that one fourth down, he is the last guy. There's no one farther.
There's nobody behind
there's
him.
There's no one behind him or to the side.
That game,
and if he doesn't,
should have been over right there.
Right. If he doesn't out,
if him and his quarterback are on the same page, he just fucking darts. He throws it over top of him and he's gone.
Right. And I understand that there's a scheme and there's a play call and this is your response, but there's no one else there. It's kind of like when there's an offensive line.
It's called contain.
Well, but there's no containment.
There was none.
That's the thing.
No, I'm saying that's what your responsibility is on that play.
But there's no one behind him. So it's kind of like it's.
Well, I'm not saying that he obviously failed at
right.
what his responsibility
so, so
was.
So let me just.
You've got six fucking people at the first down marker.
Yeah.
All right. You got Mariota 19 fucking yards back, and after a three-step drop is 22 fucking yards back. You got a receiver that has literally 4 yards between here and here. He comes out straight down right about here, doesn't out. Mariota hits him. This motherfucker didn't look at him at all.
Now, that's actually called the prevent defense, which is one of the worst things you could ever do.
Hold on. Even in a prevent defense, you have to look at the receiver coming by you.
My question is this.
That cushion is way too much. You should never do that.
Understand. This is the question, though. Are players so afraid of fucking up the play call or the scheme? There is no one else there. I get the play call. I'm not asking about the play call. As the player that's there, he sees the guy running up towards him in his field of vision, does the out. There's no one to his right. There's no other player there, defensive player. He's the only guy that can stop that play. But he has to contain this space. That guy is not in his space.
That is the gayest I've ever heard you, and I've heard you.
Well, what the fuck? What the fuck, dude? Just go out and fucking make the play. Get out of yeah. You're gonna have to leave your zone.
I don't know why he doesn't even look at him. That's that.
Yeah, right.
Does his helmet? If you look at that play, all right, his helmet doesn't even move. He does not know that player is coming down the sideline. Now maybe they pulled a boner. Like he was coming off the field, and he went all the way down to the fucking, all the way to the edge of, you know, like he was coming off, and then.
What was his job on that play?
Get the first down.
No, what was Mills' job on that play?
It wasn't Mills, it was Corey Graham.
Corey Joseph. All right, Corey Graham. Yeah.
All right, so what was his job on that play?
I know, contain. But He didn't look at him.
But he did not
look
contain.
At him. He didn't contain. He didn't even look at him.
So to play the devil's advocate, what I'm trying to say is that I don't believe those.
How would you like to suck my balls?
Okay, now let's try to get an answer from someone who's not a complete retard.
Oh, well, thank you. Am I the only one that watched the Green Bay?
We're not talking
Chicago
about that
Bears
right now.
Game. Guess what? They played prevent defense the fucking second half, and they fucking lost. And that's why they fucking
but
lost.
But you're talking about a play call. I'm talking about an individual. You're missing what we're trying to say here. There's an forget the fucking scheme. Forget about the play call. Forget about Jim Schwartz. There's one guy going out there. There is no other defensive player that can make this play.
And he's 2 yards away from it.
But he's And you're saying, well, that's the prevent defense. Why isn't that player just saying?
They still have to do something. They have to prevent. He didn't prevent. He didn't look at the receiver. That could have been the only assignment that there is nobody else he could have been looking at.
Right. I get.
But he did not even look at him.
Here's my zone of what I need to defend. I get it. And then this player there. But he's the one that's guarding the sideline, not near the sideline. There's a player that's moving towards the sideline. Why doesn't he move? And you say that's the prevent defense. And I know there's no defensive coordinator that's going to say, hey, listen, you got to stay here. Even if there's no one else behind you and then the wide receiver runs behind you wide open, you just stay there. Don't move because that's your position. That's why I just don't fucking get.
So from now on, when you see any defense playing a prevent defense at no matter what level.
I don't care about prevent defense. You're still missing it.
I don't think you're getting what they were.
I absolutely know what you're saying, and you sound like an idiot right now.
No. But what our question is, why wouldn't that guy
go off to the sideline? If you're in a prevent defense, okay, and your assignment is to contain, don't start lipping. All right, if you're in a prevent defense and your assignment is to contain, and a player comes within 2 yards of you, what are you supposed to do? Just stand there?
No, he's not.
Okay, good.
I get that.
Done. Good. That's all I need to know.
All right. But I would like for you guys from now on, when you see a prevent defense, to be so irritated because it doesn't fucking work.
Well, who said it best? Was it Sean Salisbury? Prevent defense prevents a win.
This is the play right here. I got it.
All right, we're not videoing it right now.
All right, well,
we're not. We're moving on.
Let's hit the home stretch.
We're 130. We're one hour and 35 minutes in right now.
I missed the point.
Yep,
a video is not going to help me at this point.
But we're going to go in the green room after this. Actually, guys, want to go play some Golden Tee?
Possibly.
I thought we were going to go to one of the sponsors here.
Can't go to Delilah's
again.
You can't go to one of the sponsors. Oh, no, I'm not going to Cavs tonight, but I think we should go over to our friends over at Druid's Keep.
Okay.
Play some Golden Tee.
I'll go there for a little.
Yeah. I haven't been there in such a long time.
Yeah, they're good people over there. Not sponsors. They don't make enough money to do anything, but all right. NFL Week 5.
I was going to say, we do predictions. Let's get into it, baby.
Come on, baby. I got this thing fucking set now.
What's our record?
As a matter of fact, I don't know because
we're
I don't think we did it last week.
I think we're awful. No,
we did not. We did not.
We didn't do it last week.
That was bad.
So here's the deal.
That was bad.
What I have now, okay, is I have the journal.
All right.
Diaz, in event of a tie, because you did win Week 3.
Boom.
All right. He wins the title. But I have every week for the rest of the season and every game.
Why don't we do this? Monday Night Football, pick the score, and that wins. I'll take the win.
Can we agree that the Cleveland Browns got robbed last week?
Can we agree that we're not going to talk about that right now? We're going to stick to predictions and who's going to win.
That's right.
All right, we got to get through this because we want to do this every week, and that's the last thing we're going to do before we sign off.
Yeah.
Do we even talk about Nashville?
No. Let me just give my perspective from being here in Philly.
Let's do that real quick.
Real quick, we'll go
to predictions.
Real quick, everyone, you've been online. You see the Nashville trip. Listeners out there that were in Nashville, they already know they had a fucking blast. So it's funny in my little role here in the Green Legion, the social media director here. There's things that Quimby tells me to point out. Then there's also things that I'm monitoring. I see online on Twitter, on Instagram, comments that come in or questions and all this shit. So I have, kind of different perspective. And normally, at least the first 3 weeks of the season of this year, I was out with everybody watching the games. I was in person. So all weekend I had, well, Quimby doesn't know how to work his fucking phone, except for it, a phone. He doesn't realize there's cameras and all this shit on there. Yeah. So
I thought I did really well getting video for you this weekend.
No, you did. But Connie, Marilyn, Karen, I went to all the
ladies. I asked them too.
Oh, they were great. No, and we got Jocelyn, J9, Jen, Chuck, just, hey guys, I need shit. Send me good pictures, send me shit, send me videos, send me good stuff. They were helping me out. The video that we got for my friend that I went to high school with.
Oh, this is a great story.
This is fucking amazing. So, you know, I'm kind of bothering people on their vacation asking for help, and I, you know, but this is what I got to do. Sunday morning, woke up, went to breakfast. You know, hey guys, if you get good shit, send it to me. And Connie was sending things in, and Karen and Marilyn, they were very helpful. But, you know, kind of waiting around. Then around 11 o'clock, 10:45 and 11 o'clock, I'm getting streams of stuff that I have to look at it all, which is good. I got a random text from someone. Turned out to be my friend I went to high school with. She tried to get people onto the boat. Her group didn't know us, weren't interested. But then,
and our boat was a little more expensive. Than
it was.
It was $125. It's a price point we've never had.
Yeah, it was. But it's worth it. I mean, they play in Nashville every 8 years. I try. You break it down. What's the appropriate price? $90. I mean,
in all fairness to them, when we had told everybody that we were, you know, sailgating on the General Jackson, we only had 205 people out of the 1,006 we had on the boat that picked up after, because just a tailgate only package. The other 800,
we're already traveling,
and I don't think they actually cared or looked into a lot of what was going on, because the looks that we got when these people got on the boat and they were on this long fucking walkway and the ramp on, you know, we were standing there and people were just going, holy shit. Like, this wasn't a boat.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing was a fucking monster.
Yeah, it was like,
this is a spaceship.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're moving an entire planet, this is how you do it.
Right.
And
old-fashioned casino, Mississippi riverboat.
Oh, dude. And when they got on, and it was really weird, you know, our competition elected to go with a tailgate. That was breaking the law, by the way, Doug Harris. You are breaking the law. 1,500 to 2,000 people, not all Eagles fans. BYO being is not you bringing all the alcohol, but we're not going to talk about that because we all know that you didn't bring enough, and and our friends weren't smart enough to make sure that you did. But they couldn't start drinking until 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
But we got them on the boat at 9 for an amazing breakfast, and it was just
the spread looks great.
And it wasn't just in the main ballroom where we had seating for 520 people. We always try to have seating for half of our total number. Well, outside of that, we had seating for another 200 people on the hurricane deck, on the front deck. The second front deck, one of the two back decks, the sports bar that was inside one of the back decks. And besides the eight food stations that were in the grand ballroom, there were another eight around the rest of the boat. So, you know, easily accessible to make sure that you got a meal and were really hungry.
One thing that more than one person mentioned, I was sitting, I got the picture of you guys coming in, getting docked right by the stadium. I sent it to you, Mike. And one thing that, unfortunately, that Philly doesn't have, even though we're right on a river, is that we don't have that river culture at a place like
all we see is freighters.
We have Cavs River Deck, and that's it.
So this opportunity was something that was very
unique,
different, yeah, and unique to people that come from this area.
We're all fucked. I mean, I'm fucked. I won't be able to put on a tailgate like that until 8 years from now when we go.
What are you talking about? London's going to fucking rock, dude.
Nothing's ever going to compare.
And
to
one
that
guy was like, I couldn't believe this guy maneuvered this ship. And, like, guess what? Like, that's, like, we have the spirit of Philadelphia here. That's like a fucking overgrown yacht.
Yeah.
This guy down there, they have that. I thought that the General Jackson was one of the most amazing
ships.
Opportunities and parties that you have had. And it was right. It discharged everyone right there at the fucking stadium.
Let me finish this up here, though. This video, though. This video, I get a random text at like 11:15. And I'm getting ready for the game. I get nervous before the games. I hadn't had my greens to chill me out yet, you know, so I need to get chill. I get this random text from this video. It's a minute long video, and it's we could have had the news. We could have had NBC10 camped out on that bridge all morning, just waiting for that fucking boat to come through. Everyone's screaming, and then the Eagles fans walking over, recognizing it, start chanting. The Green Legion flags blowing in the wind. Everyone was freaking out on that bridge. They were so excited.
Did you see the banner when it finally flipped around?
Yeah, it was awesome.
If you traveled with the Green Legion, you'd be tailgating here right now.
There was people looking at the General Jackson that I met. I was at the top of the hill where it docked, and they were like, "Oh my God, that whole boat is full of Eagles fans." And I said, "Yeah."
Loud.
I go,
"That's
the fucking Green Legion." I said, "And like, you know, here's the greenlegion.com and blah blah blah. This is where you go to. They have the best tailgates, home and away." So anyway, you know, there was people in awe of the General Jackson because all they saw was Eagles fans on a boat, a beautiful boat that we have nothing like in this city. And they were in awe that there was nothing but Eagles fans going crazy on it, and it was going to drop them off right at the fucking foot of the stadium.
I was telling Quimby this. I don't know if you ever heard. No, we were talking when he came back yesterday, but I pumped that video out right away online on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook. Twitter alone, I didn't look at the metrics because I'm a stats guy. I want to see exactly what's working and what's not working. It got picked up by NBC Sports Philly. It was on the pregame show.
Barstool.
24/7
Sports.
24/7 Sports. On just Twitter.
By the way, all of you guys, John Clark. Especially my man.
Right?
I mean, John, you know, I can't tell you how much you have helped us. Not just recently, over the years, man. You are... I know it's not synonymous with the kind of journalism that you want to hear, but you are one cool motherfucker, bro.
Yeah, he's great.
He is just an awesome fucking guy in every way.
I was texting with him on Friday. He said, "Hey, you got some good, you know, Eagles stuff." And I hadn't had good videos. I wasn't there to do it. I didn't want to give him the stuff I had. I don't think it was the top quality. And it just kind of, you know, Sunday came around, and I see him in the locker room and stuff. I assume that he doesn't want anything from us. He goes, "Hey, you get any good videos from today?" I'm like, Johnny, check out what I got for you, brother. Check out what I got.
Well, as a matter of fact, he talked about us on Philly Sports Talk. Is it Philly Sports Talk now? Yesterday evening.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. But
we got. Let me finish. Just this stat. Check this stat out. In the first 5 hours of that, from 11 a.m. till after the game, 4:30, 5 o'clock, 6 hours, we averaged 7 views per second of that video. 7 views per second. We had like something like 235,000 views over everyone that picked it up. And I, you know, just break it down. I'm making up the numbers, but it was like 6.86 views.
I didn't send you a video, but I think I sent you a great shot.
You did.
Well, you did.
You did. But that video, thank you. Mary Pierce out there. You know, you're invited to
Mary Pierce Alato.
No, Meredith Pierce.
Okay,
From Tough Acting.
I believe that's the couple I met.
She's been on our trips before.
She has. She was going with a new group, and they just didn't.
I believe that's.
Tell Meredith we'd like to bring her out to a couple tailgates.
I did.
On us.
I'll reach out to her personally. Yeah. But
anyway, Nashville was fantastic. Awesome. We showed up.
Let's do the picks.
Yeah, let's do the picks and let's get out of here. All right, everybody. Week 5 in the NFL starting tomorrow. We've got the Colts at the Patriots. Do we really need to think about this one?
Patriots at home. I'm going Pats.
Pats.
DRQ. Got it. Titans versus Bills.
Who is the second team the home team?
It is.
Titans.
Who said Titans?
I did.
I'm going Titans too.
What are you doing, Q? You going Bills?
I'm going Bills.
He's going Bills. Jesus. You're underrating that defense. It was a bad weekend last weekend, but...
I'm just trying to go something different than you fucks.
You're lose bad or win big. Is that it?
Falcons at Steelers.
Dude.
It's a tough one,
I went
right?
first
tough
last
one.
Night.
That's a tough one.
I looked at that one a little while ago, and I'm like, I still don't fucking know.
You go first. I went first last, too.
Steelers.
All right, Q, you go.
I'm going Falcons.
I'm going Falcons, too. They suck on the road. They suck outside, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they've been exposed.
Yeah. And Broncos at Jets.
Who's going first this time? I think it's Q.
I'll go first. I'm going Broncos after that very close loss to the Chiefs. And Case Keenum missing a very fucking easy touchdown. Oh, blowing my well. I needed those extra 6 points to get the over. How did he miss that? Did you see that?
It was fucking ugly.
Sanders is still going, oh my God, dickhead. How did you fucking throw that ball to me? But go ahead.
I'm going to go the Jets on this one. I don't know why I'm going on the Jets. They're at home. I'm going Jets.
I'm not going to be fooled by that game in Detroit. I'm going Broncos.
All right. Jaguars at Chiefs.
This is a game of the week.
Yeah, that is the game of the week right there.
I'm going Chiefs. I'm a Pat Mahomie.
At Chiefs? Chiefs.
I'm going 100% undefeated Chiefs. Packers at Lions.
Wow. Shit. I shouldn't be breathing. That's unprofessional breathing like that into the mic.
It wasn't too creepy. It was good. It was more of a sigh.
I used to chew gum.
Yeah, that's not good either. I'm going to go Pack.
Going Lions, man. They're angry.
I have no idea.
What's the line?
I don't know what the line is.
We're just picking.
No. I'm not going to give lines when we do this because that could sway your decisions. I don't like it as an NFC North matchup. I'm going with Rex. I'm going with the Lions. Ravens at Browns. Interesting fucking matchup here.
This is interesting.
Is it my turn?
It is.
I'm done betting against the Browns. I'm going with the Browns. Because there's too much fucking talent on that team, man.
Diaz, he's looking at the lines. Give me your phone.
Get his phone.
Give me your phone.
I'm going Browns. Baltimore's favored by one. Dickhead. I'm going Browns.
Baltimore's favored by one. I'm going with the Ravens. I think they're for real. Honestly.
Fuck the Ravens, Baltimore.
That's all right. Giants at Panthers.
Panthers big, all Panthers. Cam Newton's going to have 9 touchdowns.
Panthers.
Yeah,
the Giants fucking suck.
We're all going there. They're fucking awful.
Dolphins at Bengals. This is an interesting AFC matchup right now because the Dolphins and Bengals are both winning their divisions.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, the Pats just beat Miami, but they're tied. You know.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going Bengals on this. I think they're Joe Mixon's coming back. I think they're good.
Bengals.
I think the Bengals win the AFC North.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Bengals right now. You know, it only took 16 years for Marvin Lewis to actually get to the playoffs and possibly win a game.
How does he still have a job?
Nobody knows.
We talk about this
every
week.
Nobody knows.
The Marvin Lewis firing watch is on.
Chucky versus the Chargers.
Chargers. It doesn't matter, man. That's going to be all Oakland. That's rough. I'm still going Chargers.
Chargers.
I hate doing it, but I think Raider Nation comes out in full force.
Raider Nation is weak.
You are weak. It's so pathetic that the fucking Chargers are like a team without a home.
pathetic.
I'm going with the Raiders. I am. I'm not going to lie. This is an easy one. Cardinals at 49ers.
49ers.
Garoppolo's out for the season. Who plays quarterback for them again?
They scored like 27 points.
Who plays quarterback for the Cardinals?
Sleeves.
Sleeves.
No. Josh Rosen is starting.
Is he?
He started last week. Yeah,
I don't care.
I'm going Cardinals.
Are you?
Wow. Upset special over here.
I'm going Niners. All right. Rams versus Earl Thomas-less Seahawks.
In Seattle. This is always this the NFC West matchup is like the Eagles Giants. You know, no matter who's good or who's bad, mental breakdown. No matter who's good or who's bad, it's always something. I guess you just got to go to the Rams. I'm going to go Rams, but I would not be surprised if Seattle won.
Rams.
There's no way Seattle wins that game. Cowboys at Texans.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Which is interesting as well because the NFL finally decided to do something fucking intelligent. And they put a Texas game on the same weekend as Red River, Oklahoma State, and Texas.
Well, this only happens every 4 years, I guess. Yeah, they should do it every 4 years.
Every 4 years.
Yeah. I'm going to go Houston because Dallas sucks.
Agreed.
Second.
Well, that's the night game.
It is. And Redskins at Saints.
What's up with the Saints defense? What the fuck is wrong with
what
you guys?
What defense?
Exactly. You got fucking Drew Brees. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks.
They had one
of
the greatest
time.
Running games, though, and it's like
Mark Ingram's back.
What the? Oh,
God. It's just the Saints defense. You guys wasted Drew Brees.
Here we go. The year the defense stepped up during the Drew Brees era in New Orleans is the year they won the Super Bowl. And if they could have ever figured out how to make that happen, Drew Brees has made every player on that offense better than they ever could have been.
That's right.
In every way, shape, or form. I know he just eclipsed the record for the most.
No, it'll be this week. Passing yards.
No, passing yards. He only needs 200 passing yards.
What did he eclipse 2 weeks ago?
I don't know,
completions, maybe?
Maybe.
He's number one. He is just, honestly, I love seeing him throw the ball.
Yeah, me too.
It is just an artist at work.
And I hate playing against him, but I love watching him play.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, hey, hate to see you leave, but love watching that ass on the way out.
Yeah. Well, sort of.
Saints. Redskins at Saints. Let's go.
Saints.
Under the Dome, Saints.
Yeah, I can't go against that grain. And finally, before we wrap up the show, Vikings against your Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, I'll go first. I don't mind going first. Birds defense way better at home. The home crowd in the last, they were 7-1 last year, the one loss being against Dallas. They're 2-0 this year. But the year before, I believe they were 6-2 at home. I could be mistaken. Is that wrong?
We're not a stats program.
Just make your pick.
Birds at home until proven otherwise.
I'm not going to pick against the Birds.
Neither am I.
I was afraid you weren't. And you know what? I would be the first guy to throw you off that fucking wall, man.
You can pick me up, bro. Then you deserve it.
Everybody, we're going to start signing out here with a very appropriate song on the way out. For the sixth time with the DQ Sports Blizzard.
Free boat ride for three.
We're going to talk about the boat on the way out. Everybody, we appreciate the support. Don't forget to support our sponsors. And we will see you next week. Bang.